All right, so the first study is, as he mentioned, is irrigation termination and fiber quality. We kind of looked at subsurface drip versus overhead irrigation. And this project was started about two years ago now by our cotton specialist and our cotton physiologist working together, John Snyder and Guy Collins. I came on board. I've been at Georgia for a year now. And so Guy kind of said, hey, you know, if you're interested in it, I've got year one data, you know, pick it up and go with it. So it's kind of one of these free studies, we call it. Both these are free studies for me this year, pretty much. I tagged on to other researches, but I picked this one up and kind of ran it. And so, you know, typically we want to terminate irrigation sometime between the first crack bowl and 10% open bowl, somewhere around in there. And, you know, typically we're looking at fiber quality issues. That's why we want to stop. So the thought is, you know, if we've got subsurface drip, let's look a little farther. But some cases we can also look at monitoring node above white flower, and once node above white flower is less than 5, we could start considering terminating irrigation. I think it just depends on your region and practices there on what you want to do. You know, we typically wait till we get open bowls in South Georgia and do it. So, typically we're going to do that to preserve fiber quality. Large amount of water is introduced into open cotton bowls can typically cause poor fiber quality ratings. So, you know, we get discounts on the cotton. So is that potential extra yield that we get out of it actually worth what we, what we're putting into it, you know, by watering it extra for the discount? So, however, the plant can still be developing bowls higher up. We know we might have that top crop, as you might say. And when we terminate irrigation, and as can be seen, if we're terminating while there's still white flowers on the plant, so we know there's still bowls up there developing, and, you know, do we want to just abandon those bowls and leave them, or do we want to try to push those a little farther, especially if we have some heat left in the year that we know we can get those bowls open and get them where they need to be. So the availability and adoption of subsurface drip irrigation by producers has opened kind of possibilities for continuing irrigation somewhere beyond the first cracked or 10% open bowls. So we do see a decent amount of producers. I won't say a very large number, but there's a lot of producers in Georgia that are getting interested, and even some in Alabama, in subsurface drip for a couple of reasons. You know, you might have dry corners, you might have irregular shaped fields, you know, whatever else. And they realize in years like we had this past year, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but years like this past year, that irrigation is really going to help. So they want to get it in where they can. You know, they're willing to make that investment. So if you have it, you know, why not utilize it throughout the year? So studies have shown the addition of irrigation, you know, after standard termination can help promote bowl filling and yield increases. So we already know that. If we look at the literature, we can find that it's out there. So the goal of the study is just to kind of expand on that and determine the effects of continued irrigation, both overhead and subsurface drip, on final yield and fiber quality. So like I said, 2-year study we did at the Strickland Irrigation Research Park near Camilla, Georgia. So that's in kind of, I won't say extremely far southwest Georgia, if you're not familiar with southwest Georgia. Two varieties in 2013 and then three in 2014. Both years, Phytogen 499 and Fibermax 1944. And then I added Delta Pine 1252 in 2014. So it's just kind of common varieties to our region. So we irrigated it using subsurface drip until first open bowl was achieved, just to prevent, you know, overhead water there, any contamination or anything such as that. So we basically have that standard up to that point, and then we just introduced the water to the bowls once they were open. So once open bowl was achieved, overhead irrigation was used to irrigate half of the plots at a rate, so the ones that are there, rate of 1 inch per week, and we split that into two. That was kind of irregardless of what was going on, you know, unless we had, you know, large amounts of rainfall. Then 1 inch a week was still applied using the other half via SDI, optimally at 0.33, or, you know, approximately a third of an inch a week, you know, three times a week to get that inch up. And this continued until full maturity or defoliation occurred. So it was a total of 4 additional inches beyond the 11.75 that we already applied. So, you know, like I said, we were right at 12 inches, and then we added 4 more. Rainfall kind of added the rest of that. Just to give you an idea of what we did, we kind of have a good, we've got some good resources there at the Irrigation Research Park. And we have a couple of fields that we have overhead irrigation with some subsurface drip in the same field. So basically that red line right there, all I did was split the field in half. Left half of the field, as you can see, we just irrigated it once we started those treatments with pivot overhead the whole time. The right half, the minute it would get kind of to that threshold or that line, we would stop the pivot. It wouldn't water anymore. So, you know, pretty straightforward. We do have, I didn't look at the interactions in this study. I do plan to do that for publishing results. If you notice to the right, both the studies do have deep and shallow drip in that field also that we looked at. So same thing, 2014, we just threw one more variety in there, and we do have some dry limb strips in between that we're able to maintain throughout the year. So to kind of compare it back to that. sadly, as always, you end up having some sort of problem somewhere, and we really don't know what caused it. We went out and kind of documented it, but I didn't even run statistics on this yet for this presentation, but I'll go ahead and tell you, in my opinion, that's statistically significant that we had that much lower of a population. So I kept it together for this presentation, but I think in the future I'm going to probably pull 1252 out of that. We weren't able to determine why. The emergence was so low. We just had baskets planted with the same planter, you know, basically the same time and everything else, but it's just whatever you deal with. So from the standpoint of Lent turnout, you know, just what does it look like when we get there? It's pretty obvious that 2013 versus 2014 were big differences in there. So I kind of compared the treatments, you know, to each other across the board. And the sad kind of thing, if we look at 2013 in here, yeah, let's see if I can get my pointer. Just so you know, so 2013, we're looking at really good dry land yields that year. We're looking at as good dry land yields that year as we are with our irrigated yields the following year. But what I didn't put in here is we had right at 30 inches of rainfall during 2013. So, you know, we might even hurt ourselves with irrigation, as is kind of showing here with the yields, you know, in 2013. But now this year, we had very little to no rainfall throughout the production season, so it was a really good year to run this study. So I'm seeing that, of course, in dry land, I'm getting very, let's turn out, let's see, yeah, Lent turnout. Did I bump the button? No, I didn't bump the button. I'm talking about the wrong thing. So there's no, you know, really no huge differences till we move over. And I'm assuming in the dry land, that's probably because of reductions in something else going on there with it. Sorry, now Lent yield. Threw the numbers up there so you could see it. Again, we had a good rainfall that year in 2013. This year, we had no rainfall. We had 600 pounds of Lent this year, you know, so just over a bale. We did really well in the rest of the years. Irrigation's obviously, you know, helping. There's not a big difference between SDI and overhead. You know, there is a slight reduction in the two if you look at it, not statistically different. So I didn't throw statistics up here because this is different. This one was not different from the other three. So, you know, if you had to make a recommendation, you had SDI available, you know, it's basically like, well, you could use that, you know, potentially these years increase your yield a little bit. So those are statistically different, like I said. That kind of fell in its own group. So, you know, yield's one thing. We know we can push yield up higher. We know we're getting there at it. So let's look at some fiber quality and see what it, you know, what it looks like and what's going on there. And, you know, I'm not really seeing any differences here. We start looking at it, and there's a very slight increase in color grade in the overhead for some reason, which I, you know, we might get some staining in those bowls or something that year. You know, I'm not sure. It's not coming out. Not coming out as clean as what I would like or as defined as what I'd like. We're looking at pretty close codes there. You know, just average the codes together and look at it. Micronair, of course, the dry land in that year, and then the year that we didn't receive much rainfall, we have very, very low micronair or lower micronair. 2013 with more rainfall, you see no differences in micronair. So, again, because we have approximately 30 inches of rainfall, that crop, for all intents and purposes, in 2013 wasn't basically an irrigated crop. And the only reason we're really seeing a reduction in 2014 because it was finally a true dryland crop. But no real differences between the overhead and subsurface drip between the years. So yellowness, you know, are we doing anything to the cotton from the color standpoint if we, you know, break that color back apart to the two components that go into it? 2013, not much. Yellowness is dropping slight, is decreasing slightly for some reason in the overhead in 2013. We have a slight increase in 2014. Our dry land had pretty high yellowness there, you know, somewhere around 8.3, similar to our overhead. And we do get better results from the subsurface drip there. You know, we're lowered just a little bit, not statistically significant, but we are lowering it just a hair. Reflectance, are we doing better here? So that's what I said. Due to low reflectance in 2014, the overhead treatment was significantly different, overhead specifically in 2014. So I think that was that's the only one. The rest of them were not different. I didn't throw stats up here on it, but looking at it statistically, that one was statistically different. I didn't run it on it. I just didn't put them up here because they weren't. So in this case, it did hurt to water it overhead. That's about the only one that I'm seeing that it is hurting. You know, uniformity. For some reason, we had really good uniformity, high uniformity out of that dry land yield in 2013 when we had a lot of rainfall, which to me doesn't, you know, doesn't make much sense that we didn't get good uniformity in the other two trials. If we look at it from dry land, pretty poor of light this past year. you know, and then kind of baseline of the two. We do have lower uniformity from the overhead, as you can see, just slightly, not statistically different. But so varietal differences. So I look at it, and I didn't go as deep. And, of course, with like a basically a 12-minute presentation here, you don't have a whole lot of time to delve into it extremely deep for this. But, you know, there are variety differences. We know that. We know even without these treatments, typically we can pull out variety differences, everything was standard. So I tried to pull some of them out and talk about it. So if we look at it from strength standpoint, you know, I saw differences there. I did not see differences via treatment, but I did by variety. So I've got to go in and delve into the statistics a lot deeper into this. So strength was stronger on both the FiberMax and the Phytogen. It was significantly lower on the Delta Pine. And we look at leaf grade. Again, it was a little bit higher on FiberMax and Phytogen. Delta Pine, it was slightly lower. We go to yellowness this time. We had a very good, you know, very low yellowness grading on the FiberMax. Statistically different. All of them were statistically different, as you can see. Much lower there, kind of step up as we go across the varieties. So, you know, I think it's pretty obvious that there are varietal differences that are happening, and that's what I really want to explore in the future to this. But HPI trash, so again, this is pig harvested cotton, so our trash levels are fairly low, but even still, you know, we're looking at statistical differences between the two, you know, just based on plant type. HPI length, so we have a much longer length than FiberMax 1944 there, much lower length than the other two varieties. Uniformity again, Phytogen kind of came out on top with that one. So, you know, and year effect was observed, of course, when you have, you go from about 6 or 8 inches during the season to 30 inches during the season of rainfall, you know, you're going to see a year effect come out. The 2013, if you saw George's presentation earlier when we were looking at irrigation scheduling, it was much cooler and wetter, you know, so that was a big difference. We might have saw some issues because of that, you know, actually finishing the crop off, some of the maturity and everything else in it when we've got a cooler year like that. 2014 was wet early, but then it turned very dry and hot from June until September. So for finishing the crop off, it's not bad. For actually producing the crop when, if we don't have irrigation or anything on it, it's kind of a bad, you know, a bad time to do it, but it's good for irrigation treatments. Lint yield was the only treatment which difference was observed independent of variety. So it's obvious that this data, we need to look at it by variety specifically. The addition of a treatment with irrigation termination would show additional yield increases from added irrigation to create fiber quality baseline. So basically what I mean by that, we just need to completely terminate. I had some dry land in there, but for what it, with the way the plot was laid out and the way we set it up in there, I didn't have the opportunity to just fully terminate irrigation and not let it see any more besides that. So I'd like to kind of see a baseline. I just followed what was done last year. I'd like to see the baseline data on if we terminate at that recommended date, you know, what does that do to it? So that's where it's at. Varietal differences I showed, I broke some of that data out by variety. And what I'd like to do is pick a couple optimal varieties. You know, I picked these three based on recommendations from the cotton specialist. He said, you know, this is what's grown. Within those three, I want to go through and delve in this data deep enough and say, hey, this one's responding better to this treatment. So if we have guys that do have subsurface drip, I can make a recommendation to them, hey, if you want to keep irrigating, you know, in your SDI beyond termination, choose this variety. This is your optimal variety to choose. If you don't, if you can't choose this one, maybe this one, you know, this is, that's a, you know, a good goal, you know, from my perspective to be able to make recommendations to guys. So some of the differences to try to, you know, sit there and think about, you know, why there are differences. A lot of times actual fiber quality parameter difference between, you know, that are happening there. You know, it may not be variety, it's something else, you know, it's just happening there. So if we can look at individual varieties, I go back and break it out by that. And then again, varietal responses to differences in irrigation treatment. So I didn't show it in this slide, but in 2013, we did see some responses by variety to the irrigation treatment in some of those fiber quality parameters. So it's just certain varieties will respond better than other ones. So as I kind of hit on, I'm gonna delve into specific varieties and go more in depth with some of the statistics and see if I can start pinpointing what is optimum to use for this. Because right now it's kind of got some results and not exactly what I expected, and it's a little more scattered than what I figured it would be. I thought it'd be a lot more clear cut when we start, you know, watering it like that, from what kind of what you hear. So with that, we've got just a minute or two before I'll switch over to my other slide, my other presentation, for any questions or comments on this one.